had a couple that I left off, and I apologize. I found out this morning at like 9 something that we have another college graduate in the house, and I forgot to mention him, but James Morgan got his master's degree this week, so we celebrate that. Also, some great news we need to celebrate. I forgot to mention earlier is that we have someone that we've been praying and praying and praying through this whole process of little Callie being adopted, and so that happened this week. So her last name is going to be Bruton. So we celebrate that.
You see,
Ms.
it's the blood of Jesus that makes us
lots of prayers have gone
12.
In for that family, and we
and
continue to lift them
to
up to the Lord.
Who has
and I praise Jesus.
You
if you have your Bible, I'm super excited to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 in honor and memory and honor and all that of the seniors
see,
today. We're
going
to kind of give a quick message to them, but also to all of us, but kind of gear that message to mainly the high school graduates today. So Philippians chapter 3. We're going
to
be studying, looking at verses 12 through 18. In honor of God's word, if you'll please rise as we study and read through Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12.
Amen. It's the best thing to be qualified.
This is Paul speaking to us this
here,
morning through the scriptures, and he says this: Nothing
I
have already reached
the
goal, or am
yesterday.
Already fully mature,
bite,
but I make every effort to
nationals.
Take hold of it,
God,
because
Dawson
I also
did.
Have been taken hold of
had,
by Christ
so
Jesus.
Them,
brothers,
listen,
I do not
Sean
consider myself to have
yesterday.
Taken hold of it,
so
but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus.
You know
verse 15. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. Verse 16. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have obtained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Verse 18. For I have often told you, and now I'll say
it's
again with tears that many
that
live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Father God, thank you
Let's
for your word. Help us now as we take
verse
a few moments to just talk about your word and dissect your word
Jesus
this morning. God,
the
I pray we would
Jesus
be challenged and motivated by your word.
Us.
God, I pray that these
the
seniors who graduated high school, God, will, be
Look
challenged by you today. And every Christian, every person in this room, God, that we would be challenged by the message of today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
You see,
if you have your
Jesus
bulletin, there's a little small outline
us.
On the back
and
of your
so
bulletin. You jot in a couple of fill in
the
blanks
the
as I'm going
to
walk through this message with you. But today I just want to just kind of give you some statistics
so
that's really not good statistics,
world,
but I think
so
that
speak,
will be
amen?
Hopefully encouraging,
so
challenging to the ones who recently graduated high school. Let me just kind
of
speak to them just for a moment. There's a research that's been done recently by Lifeway Research, and their data shares this,
that
around 70% of teenagers who are graduating high school drop out of church for some time in their life. 70% of teenagers, once they graduate high school, are dropping out of church. Now, maybe two-thirds of those find their way back to the church, but there is a time frame where 70%, around 70% of high school graduates leave the church and are gone for some time. That's mind-boggling to me, amen? That's not good enough. That's not good numbers. But I want you to know, I want to encourage the seniors today to not be one of these statistics, amen? To not just fall into the top, to the 70%. And so I want to, and as I read this article, listen to this, 80% of young people who dropped out of church said they did not plan to do this during high school.
Turn on the news.
So you've got 70% of the high school graduates dropping out of church. And while they were in high school, out of those 70%, 80% of them said they did not think this way. And while they were, it wasn't their game plan. Once I graduated high school, I'm just going
to
leave the church and not go back for a while. That's not their plan. And so if you go on, and I read some more of the article, and I go, and it tells some different reasons of why this is happening. And it's not necessarily that our high school graduates are, you know, all of a sudden they graduate high school and they have an issue with, you know, their theology or whatever the case may be. It boils down to is, listen to me, are you listening, high school graduates? The reason why 70% are leaving the church is because once they graduate, they're outside of their mom and dad's wing. They don't realize and they don't put church as a primary priority of their lives anymore. And so they leave the church because it's no longer important to them.
He takes us from this bondage, I was just challenged as I've been looking through some of those things.
Can I just say this about the three seniors that just graduated from this church?
He rescues us.
I don't believe in my heart that they're going to be a statistic.
Into the kingdom of his son he loves. Listen, in whom we have redemption. It should have been a good place for you to say,
"Amen, brother."
Of sins.
Can I share with you a couple of things?
There were three things, like how can we break the mold?
How can we not be a statistic? And so one of the things it mentions was that when they graduate high school, mom and dad are both still Christian and they're both connected to the church. That if that happens, that's a great, great chance that your high school graduate will stay connected to the church if mom and dad's connected to the church. So that's just a little challenge to mom and dads in the room. Another thing it said that would help break the mold is that if the high school senior between age 15 and 18, if he had someone in the church who had taken the time to invest their time and energy in this young person, that they would see the importance of staying connected to the church. Now, I'm just here to say that we've had youth ministers, we've had Brother Doug, who's leading our youth now, and we have Dakota, who's our worship leader, who are taking these teenagers, and they're plugging them in, and they're allowing them to do ministry, like play the bass guitar, amen?
As a ransom.
We know James is going to be here next Sunday, and he's graduated this week, but he's going to be here next week if he's playing the bass guitar, amen? And so the key is getting our teenagers plugged into church, and that way they look forward to coming to church, not it's a grudge to go to church, amen? And so I'm honored that our worship leader has done that with some of our teenagers, and is plugging them in. Logan is playing the drums. He's graduating next year. And we pray because we've plugged him in and he's involved in ministry that once he graduates, he's going to see church is still important in his life. Amen.
It's not by
So let's move on to the main message. Let's look at it. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Here's what we get from verse 12. Number one is this. We need to follow after perfection. Here's what Paul's saying. He says, "Hey guys, I haven't taken hold of this. I haven't arrived yet." Is what he's saying. And I'm striving for, and I haven't. I'm not there yet. And by the way, we're not going to reach perfection until we get to glory one day. Amen. And so our goal and our aim, though, is to be Christ-like, is to follow Christ. And what Paul is saying is that my goal is to one day continue to grow and to mature, and to one day I'm going to be a mature Christian. And so that's the goal in this, is to follow after perfection. Teenagers that have just graduated, and those who are still in school, and even the adults, listen to me. We need to not bow down and lower our standards of living just because everybody else is around us. Perfection and our holiness still needs to be our focus. Amen.
From the bondage of sin,
God needs to be our focus.
From the bondage,
and we need to follow after.
And I don't live for
perfection.
This world,
don't get pulled into the world around us. Don't get pulled into the society around you that says, "Watch out." This
it
says
the blood that qualifies you from
that
heaven.
Sin is okay now.
Have you been qualified?
Don't get pulled into that. That's not our standard. Amen. Listen to me. We live by God's standards, and God's standards says that we're to try to live a holy life.
I know we've been talking about Revelation a lot and the things that come. And the most important decision that we need to know is that we're ready, that we're qualified, that when He calls our name, we are ready.
He goes on in verse 13. He's, you know, how do I do this? He says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself taking hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." You and I need to forget what's in the past. Now, there's some good things in the past. Amen. We've got some good things that maybe be in our past, but there's also
still some bad things in our past that could actually hold us down and hold us back from being all that God wants us to be. And so what Paul says to do is we can't change the past. We can't be, don't focus on the past. Stay focused on what's ahead. Amen. Stay focused on the goal, and the goal is to be like Christ one day. And so as the teenagers and as every adult in this room, you and I, in order to press on for Christ, we must forget what's already happened yesterday and stop trying to live under yesterday's blessings and yesterday's struggles, but focus on what's ahead and what God has in store for us tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
That's what he's meaning.
Here's number three.
He said that we've had redemption.
We need to strive
for
God's
purpose. And the forgiveness of sins. As this was,
he uses some terminology. He says, "I pursue as my goal
the
prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." What is Paul saying? He says, "I pursue this. I'm striving after this, and in my goal and my striving and my pursuing is to accomplish what God's call is and His purpose is, and that's to be a follower of Jesus Christ." Amen. We're talking about Paul who wrote this. Paul, the same Paul that was Saul, that was killing Christians, now is writing to you, and he's saying, listen, my goal and my aim in life, the thing that I strive for is to make sure that I'm living up to the call that God has for me. Amen.
Do you and I have to sin every day?
I pray and I pray and I pray.
Or is it our choice to sin?
That not only these teenagers that are graduating, but every person in the room, that we'll strive to live for God's purpose in our life. Amen. What is God's purpose in our life? I pray that we would strive to do what His will is and not necessarily what our will is. Here's the fourth thing, verse 15.
Jesus never sinned.
We need to keep our minds focused on Christ. Verse 15, therefore all who are mature should think this way, should focus on this. And he says, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. And so here's the reality is that Satan is alive, amen? He's alive. He's like a roaring lion, and he's seeking who he can devour. And his ultimate goal is to devour every last one of us. And the place that he starts is where?
To him in 1995 on a Wednesday night, I cried out to him.
And so we see the whole importance here is that we must stay focused, keep our minds focused on Christ. Teenagers, if you don't keep your minds focused on Christ, your mind is wandering every minute of every day. And if we're not focused on Christ, listen to me, it's going to get wasted. Away in the world. Amen. And so we must stay focused.
So
how do we do that, Brother Shane? How can I stay focused? Listen to me.
Hey,
one way we can do that is by
do
staying in God's Word
God
daily.
God has already washed us white as
you believe
snow.
That? Say amen.
And it's almost like we take for granted.
The Bible talks about renewing our minds.
Sometimes,
how do we renew our minds, adults? How do we do that? We've got to spend time with Jesus.
He wants us to.
We've got to have some devotion life. We've got to read His Word. We've got to love it. We've got to cherish His Word more than anything else in life. You say, well, how else do I keep my mind on Christ? We need to be focusing on Him and spending time with Him in prayer. Amen. We need to be talking to Him, and we need to be listening to Him. And sometimes I'm guilty of this, but we talk a lot more than we listen, especially when it comes to talking to God. Amen.
Are we giving our all?
But when we focus on our minds on Him, we need to slow down and say, God, just, you know my heart. You know what I need. I don't need to talk at this point. Can I just slow down? And just
see,
listen so that you can speak
means,
to
like,
me.
You know, you're having a great day.
We
right?
ask God to speak
have you,
to
have
us
you had
and
a blessed
lead us
week?
And help
and they
us
go, yeah, man, I'm blessed.
Our struggles
man,
in life.
Man, my
Amen.
Bank account's great. I got a new job. And I got me a new car.
How can
I got
we keep
a new
our
boat.
Minds
I'm
focused
blessed.
On Christ?
That's not what I'm asking.
Teenagers,
that's not
do you
what
think
scripture
music
talks
makes
about
a difference
blessed.
In our
say,
lives?
Say, are you blessed? If you've been blessed this,
Hello.
This week, say
that's
amen.
A whole other sermon in itself.
Look
amen.
At Psalm 32,
adults,
verse 1. I want
do
you,
you think music
say,
affects
are you
our
blessed?
Lives?
Blessed is he whose
Let me ask you this. What music have you been
forgiven,
listening to lately?
Whose sins are
don't, you
covered.
Ain't got to tell me. You don't have to tell me.
Let me ask you now. Are you blessed?
But if your pastor would come
you
jump
see,
in your
blessed,
vehicle right
your
after church,
are forgiven and your
would
sins
you have to change the radio
how
station
how
or would you be okay
covered?
With me listening
your sins
to the
are
same music you're
only
listening
by
to.
The precious blood of Jesus. Amen?
Hey, it's not about me,
not
but what if
me,
Jesus jumped
you,
in your truck?
Not about you, not by us. How are our sins
hey,
covered?
Hey,
because
listen to me.
How
if you're a Christian, Jesus rides in the
because of what Jesus
seat with
has
you,
already
right
done
next to you.
Amen. And so I just want to throw that out mainly for the teenagers. But listen to me. Our minds cannot stay focused on Christ, because unless we're putting Christ into our minds, we have to put Christ in through these avenues of prayer, through the word, through music that glorifies him, through communication that glorifies him. If we're not putting good, godly things in our mind, we can't expect godly things to flow out in our lives. Amen? It's easy. Trash in equals...
God, you know,
trash
you
out. Godliness in equals godliness out. It's easy.
Back from you. God,
I pray and I pray and I pray that these, mainly these teenagers, would see.
Today, if you're here today, the sound of my voice.
Keep your minds focused on Christ.
We've been talking about a topic today.
God has great plans for you. And we're going to wrap it up with our fifth thought for the day.
You see, Billy Graham,
we need to maintain spiritual growth.
Was told by a great prominent guy that his preaching was great, but he needed to take the blood.
That's what he's saying through 16 through 18. He says, in case we,
you think Billy Graham took the
in
blood?
Case
he said
we should live up to whatever truth we have obtained. He's saying, guys, you've heard the truth. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You need to obtain to that. You need to live up to the standards of the truth that you know. That's what he's trying to tell them. Verse 17, and join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Wow, this is Paul. And he's saying, hey,
next
guys,
Sunday, we're gonna have
watch
Sunday,
me and
Sunday,
do what I do.
In the midst of our service,
think
we're gonna
think
have
how powerful
we're gonna take on the
of a statement that is.
Hey,
can, parents, let me ask you this. Young people,
the
listen.
Blood and the body of
can
Christ.
You go we'll to your school or can you go
come.
To work
please
or can you go to your family
that.
And you just say, hey, guys, hey, don't do what
but
I say,
morning,
but
I
just want you to do everything that I do today. I want you to do exactly what I do.
If you're not guaranteed,
I want you to think the way I think. I want you to say the things that I say. And I want you to do and behave the way that I behave,
there,
and you're if you do that, you'll be a follower of Christ.
You may
today.
Hear be here to say, brother.
Can
Shane,
we say
I,
that
I
every
know
day?
I've done some things, and I even got baptized.
If you just said, yeah, you just lied.
I
amen.
Saved, but listen,
we
I'm
cannot
sure
say that every
that
day.
I'm ready, and I'm not sure I'm guaranteed.
But what
if
Paul's
sure,
trying to tell the church is that
you
listen, your goal needs to be. You need to be so
sure,
in love with Jesus. You need to be so focused on Him, and that you're walking so close to Him that everybody else that's watching you, if they followed in your steps, they'd be following right after. After Jesus.
Is that we are ready
amen.
For the King of Kings.
That's
Lord
a challenge.
Lords, and that we
that's
will
a struggle
a
because listen to me. We're not perfect. We all struggle.
Will you bow your heads
but I pray and I pray and I pray that it'll be our goal's desire. It'll be our heart's desire to see God. Say, God, I want to maintain my spiritual growth. And so what happens is that we get saved and we give our life to Jesus and we begin to read and we begin to study and we begin to spend time with Jesus. And, man, we're growing. We're focused and we're doing great things. And then all of a sudden we kind of lose focus sometimes.
I'm not even sure.
And it
I'm
seems
ready.
Like, you know, that first year we got saved, man, we,
I'm not
man,
even sure
we
that
were putting, we were
ticket.
Witnessing
sure
to everybody, right? We were telling everybody about Jesus,
sure
and we were loving on them, and we were just
you.
On fire for
before
Jesus.
Leave,
but along the way,
see
somehow
see,
our fire
see
gets put
leaders.
Out. And sometimes we just kind of lose focus, and
you see, Jesus Christ
we don't continue to grow.
The way that you are, but
we stop spending that quality time with Jesus. We stop waking up that
you,
10, 15, 20 minutes early so
but he died
we can just spend a little time with Jesus before
sins.
We get going.
So
and before
he can
we know it,
you
our spiritual growth
snow. And so today,
is stopped.
Been forgiven,
but our spiritual growth is like riding a bicycle up here.
On the cross for you, and on
right?
The third day he arose from that.
Our spirituality and our
that?
Spiritual life is like
if
riding
will,
a bicycle
Bible
uphill.
Tells
you're
sing,
not staying still.
The name of the Lord
if
Jesus,
you're riding a bicycle uphill and you stop pedaling, somebody tell me what happens.
Say, Brother Shane, I'm here.
You go
and I'm
backwards.
A Christian.
You go down
am,
the hill. Weak gravity doesn't
honestly,
lie.
Shane,
you're riding a bicycle uphill and you stop pedaling. You're not going to stay there and just say, I'm just going to hang out here. You're going to fall on your face and you're going
to
fall down the hill.
And
it's the same way with spiritual
say,
growth. Listen to me. You cannot spend time with God and love God and keep on going. And I'm saying, I'm just going to not do that today.
When I say,
I'm just going to kind of take a break from that for about a month. If you take a break from that month, guess what your spiritual maturity does.
I hadn't been living sure. About the blood. I've been living about me.
And your spiritual life begins to fall.
And you want to focus back on
and
the
we begin
blood.
To
when
fall
say,
into the world.
To the
we begin to fall
pray.
Into sin. And we find our
maybe
way away from the church
you,
and away from
do,
Christians and away
God,
from the
pray,
things
Father
that we're
God,
supposed to do.
Give you this time.
So how did this start?
Help us to respond the way that you call us to. Help us to
it
be
really
obedient
just starts
to whatever
with
you call us to do.
Satan getting into our minds.
God, we thank you for your precious blood.
And it's a slippery
thank
slope.
Thank you for your sacrifice for us, God.
We find ourselves falling away.
And
Paul
God, we thank
says,
you
hey,
for
guys,
the things that we talked about this morning, God.
I want you to press on. I want you to forget the past. But I want you to stay focused.
It's you that we find our help, Lord.
Seniors, it's just graduated high school.
God, you know those in this room. You know all of our struggles. You know all the things that's going on, God. Will you just allow us to run after you?
Don't stop living for Christ. Don't get caught up in the world. Stay focused on Him so that you can make a positive, dynamic difference in the life that you're called to live as a young man.
God, will you set us free?
And God, adults in the room, challenge for all of us as a saint.
You stand, you come if God leads.
Are we pressing on for Christ? Are we following after perfection for Him? Are we saying, God, all I want to do is live for You? Or are we living for the world and ourselves at times? Maybe you're here today, you say, Brother Shane, I can't get over my past. I can't get over the stuff that I've done. And I'm struggling through those things. And the Satan knows. By the way, do you think Satan knows our past better than we do? Amen? He knows every time we've ever fallen down on our face. And the moment he thinks we forgot, He'll remind us and keep us down and keep us defeated. Will you just claim victory in the name of Jesus over your past and say, I'm not living in the past. We can't change it. There's some things we're not happy about it, but I can't live in the past. All I can do, God, is honor You today. And from this day forward, I want to honor You and I want to live for You. Amen. Strive for the purpose of Christ in your life. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Today, I just want to ask all of us just to stop and just evaluate. I want to ask you, are you pressing on for Christ today? Or if you kind of just stop pedaling that bicycle uphill? Today's the challenge is to press on and to keep on maturing, is to strive to be more and more and more like Christ every day of our lives. The challenge is to not get caught up in the world around us, but to stay so focused on Christ that in the end of the day, if anybody watched us, they were able to see what Christ would want them to do. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Shane, if I'm honest, that's not me. I'm not striving for holiness and I'm living in the past and I'm not striving and living for God's purpose in my life. And Shane, Brother Shane, if that's not me, but I'd say who I want to be. If that's you today and you have situations that's maybe pulled you away from your relationship with Christ, if you're here today, well, I ask you and I beg you to repent and give all your situations to God today. This altar is going to be open in just a moment. You can come and lay your burdens down. He's big enough to handle anything that you're facing right now. If you're here this morning at the sound of my voice and you've never truly given your heart to Jesus Christ and you say, Brother Shane, I'm not sure today if I were to die today that I would be able to go to heaven because I'm not sure I have a relationship. If that's you today, will you please not leave this place without talking to me or someone and nailing things down? And giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision you'll ever make. So I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, if you feel that this message is spoken to your heart. And God's been stirring in your life. And you need to do business with God. Or I'm here for prayer. Whatever the case may be. When I say amen, you come. Father God, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your word. God, I thank You for our seniors who's graduated. God, I pray for them. God, will You help them to live out the rest of their life for You, God? God, for every young person in this room, God, will You help them to press on for You? And God, every adult in this room, God, will You help us to truly press on? God, will You help us to be all that You've called us to be, God? And I pray today if there's anybody here that's struggling in their relationship with Christ, that Satan's been running and trying to win battles in their life, God, in the name of Jesus, I ask for victory for them. God, will You set them free from whatever their bondage is, whatever their burdens are. And God, I pray today that we would be found faithful in Your sight. God, I pray if there's anybody here that needs to be saved, God, that they would have the boldness to come.
Amen. I pray this week that we would be focused on the blood.
God, this time of invitation is all for You. We love You. We ask and pray that we would be obedient to what You call us to do. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You stand. You come if God leads as we sing and worship.
Save the day.